Whiskey and Zorn. Whiskey and Zorn. Sounding his horn. Hope is reborn.
I'm always reborn when Eric Zorn comes in.
It's natural, Wendy. You can't help yourself.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. You just have that way about you, Eric. What's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with it.
Nothing's wrong with it.
It's patented, even, Mike.
Wait, you're calling yourself refreshing?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
You're aware of your own refreshingness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Eric Zorn is here. He writes a column for the Chicago Tribune. His name's right on it. You can't miss it. How are you? Everything good?
I'm good. I spent the last hour watching President Trump. I wasn't there in person.
Yeah.
Speaking to the International Association of Police Chiefs.
Yes.
Down at McCormick Place. And
what did you take away
from it?
Well,
it was very interesting because he went directly. I've probably been on the newscast. You and I, we've been gossiping. In here,
yes.
But he went after Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who was not
Donald
there.
Donald Trump did. Okay.
President Trump went after Superintendent Johnson. In a way that I mean, I expected it, actually, because Trump never lets a slight pass. And he started off by thanking all the great people who were here in the audience. And then he turned and pivoted, and he said, you know, there's one person who's not here today. We're in Chicago, and I want to talk to him more than anybody else. This person should be here because maybe he could learn something.
Mm.
And the background for this is that about a week ago, Eddie Johnson announced that he would not be attending the speech. He has been at the convention,
mm-hmm.
the gathering, but he is not attending the speech because he feels like Donald Trump does not reflect the values of the people of the city of Chicago. He didn't want to sit there and seem to endorse them by being present.
And that's his option.
And that is totally his option.
But the mayor has chosen that option. The governor has chosen that option. Pretty much every major politician in and around Chicago has chosen that option.
I don't think there are many. There are some Republican congressmen from around the state who are there, but
and
I don't
that's
think
it.
There are any locals. Yes, he referred to those people as the stupid politicians who have no idea what the hell they're doing.
Oh.
In his speech. It was a typical Trump speech, if you watched many of them. He seems to be following an outline rather than a script.
Yeah.
He's free associating. And I expect, well, the background, again, to continue with this background, then the Fraternal Order of Police last week issued a vote of no confidence in Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the final straw was this announcement of his that he wasn't going to be going to the speech, and they were saying this disrespects the office and it disrespects President Trump, who is favored by law enforcement officials everywhere. And
even
so,
in Chicago?
Well, yeah, even in Chicago. I guess the Fraternal Order of Police represents Chicago. It's the union representing the Chicago police officers. And I wrote a column for Sunday saying this superintendent, who is in trouble in a number of ways, he was just picked up. Remember,
we talked about it last week.
He's picked up near his house, asleep at the wheel of his car. He pulled over because he says some medication issues.
New medication.
And left him woozy, and he had a couple of drinks with dinner.
And no breathalyzer.
And there was no breathalyzer.
Right.
So this was a controversy. And then even before that, earlier in October, there was a controversy because the city inspector general's report had come out and said that he had been present at the early showing of the Laquan McDonald video to the top brass.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't said anything. He had just gone along with the conclusion that it was a good shoot. So it was my view that Johnson had to go, that he was on his way out.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about that. I now think that the Fraternal Order of Police and now Donald Trump have given Eddie Johnson the job security that he needs to make it to next year when he will be, I guess, of retirement age, that he can get his full superintendent's pension. So I don't think Eddie Johnson's going anywhere anytime soon. Because
how have they helped him?
Well, they've helped him because they have made him the face of this, of being anti-Trump in Chicago. Chicago voted 12% for Trump in 2016. This is not Trump country by any means. And for Lori Lightfoot to throw over Eddie Johnson right now in the face of demands from the Fraternal Order of Police and then all this criticism of Donald Trump would be really bad politics for her. She's got a lot more things to worry about than that right now with the school strike. So I think Eddie Johnson is really safe. We can go through other things that he said about him.
Go back for a second.
Yeah.
His percentage was what amongst 12. Voters in Chicago?
12.4% Trump won in 2016.
12.4. All right. So tell me the difference between, and you already know this, Eric, but the people who like him don't just like him, they love him.
Yes.
So what is the difference when, even though you have a low number, the support is that strong, even though it's a low number, does that make a bit of a difference when they're that outspoken in how much they follow the president? It's got to play some role, even though it's a low number.
Well, I think 12.4% is too low to make a real difference in the city in terms of you know the political valence of it. But when you're talking about nationally, it's a very interesting situation because you have a situation where you have a guy who's, you know, his polling number is usually somewhere around 40%, but those people are strong. Mm-hmm. Those people are going to come out and vote. And then you've got a Democratic candidate, whoever it might be, who's going to be dividing the party.
Yeah, who is
either,
it going to be?
Either too liberal, too moderate, too old, whatever. The Democrats have not really gotten behind anybody yet, and they may not be behind anybody. It may be one of those situations that we had in 2016, where there really wasn't a candidate that excited enough people in the Democratic base to get out. So you had people like Dr. Jill Stein was it, and who's the Tribune endorsed the guy? I can't remember his name now. The Libertarian candidate,
the guy who's running as a Republican this time around.
No, is he running as a Republican?
I think so. Bill somebody, right?
Oh God, how can we forget this? Johnson, wasn't it?
I don't remember him. That's terrible.
All right, so give us the specifics on what his attack was on Eddie Johnson.
Okay, well, he says he made very insulting statements after all I've done for police, Trump said. He says he's done more for police than any other president has ever done. I don't know what he bases that claim on or exactly what it is he feels that he's done for police, but he says this. And then he talks about Chicago's murder statistics. He says that there were 565 people murdered in Chicago last year, which is true. And he talked about all the people who've been shot. And then he says all this is happening despite the fact, Trump says, that Chicago has the toughest gun laws in the United States. Hmm. Now, this is not true.
No.
Because there was a time when Chicago had tried to clamp down on guns and had instituted some really tough gun laws. They've all been overturned. They're dead letter. Chicago has just normal gun laws for the rest of the country. But he likes to repeat this over and over again, like it proves something about gun control. Then he talked about Jussie Smollett.
Oh, he did.
He segued into talking about Jussie Smollett. He said Jussie Smollett beat himself up. He said it was MAGA country, and that's a hate crime. Then he said the whole thing with Smollett is a scam. It's a real big scam, just like the impeachment of your president. Then he went on to talk about how there was this improvement in the crime statistics around the country, and he said that we've had a lot of improvement in crime around the country, a 10% drop in crime around the country. Unlike here, he said, unlike here in Chicago. And they said, boy, if you added in, even when you add in Chicago's terrible statistics, we've still had a drop in crime. This is another lie, I'll just say. Through mid-October, this is a Tribune story, both homicides and shooting incidents have fallen by 11% in Chicago this year. And these numbers continue the double-digit declines in 2018 and 2017 that we've had. So, I mean, I'm not saying we have great, this is a great thing to be proud of. We have all these people, all these shootings, all these murders. Yeah. But the truth is that the trend in Chicago is very similar to the trends around the country. Trump has come here and basically attacked Chicago politicians and also the superintendent of police. This was totally predictable, though, right?
I mean, why would you come to a city and berate them and make fun of them? Isn't his job to get support?
He's not. He knows he's not going to win Illinois. He's not going to win votes in Chicago. He's speaking to a national audience when he comes to these things. He's speaking to these police chiefs around the country, it's something that he does a lot when he gives his speeches. He's going there ostensibly to speak to the local people, but he knows that he gets a national platform. I don't know. C-SPAN covered this. I don't know that CNN did. I was watching another Tribune app until I walked into the studio. Actually, is he still talking? No, he's done now. Finally, another thing he talked about was, which is, did you remember when he was campaigning? He came here and he said afterwards, after he left, he said, "I talked to a Chicago motorcycle cop, and he told me that he could solve the violence problem in this country in one day.
Yeah.
I could solve it in one day." Well, who was that? Who was this person, Mr. Trump? Well, I don't know. He was somebody I spoke to. We've challenged this story. The media's challenged this story. Like, who is this person who thinks, this alleged police officer who thinks he's got an answer to crime in one day? And he says this to Trump, and then Trump doesn't follow up with, okay, well, what's your plan? What's your idea? He just says, good for you, sir, and then gets onto the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is when he was a candidate. Now that he's a president, he's repeating this story, and he keeps saying that he's got somebody in the police department, motorcycle cop, and he gives all these details about where they were and what he was doing and how they were making a photograph as they were getting ready to leave. More detail than he's ever given, and we're still not going to find this guy because he doesn't exist.
The name of the guy I couldn't think of earlier who was a Libertarian candidate but is now running as Republican is Bill Weld.
Bill Weld. That's not Bill Weld, though.
No.
No.
Somebody different. All right. We'll take a break. More with Eric Zorn. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
That will be our bonus hour, yeah. Not to confuse.
Right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Eric Zorn, fine, fine columnist for your Chicago Tribune. Eric, there was a tradition, a radio tradition that we started years and years and years ago. Please explain.
Well, it goes back to Howard Miller being on the air here, and my grandfather would come in and read the best tweets of Halloween every year.
Grandpa Zorn would come in the week of Halloween.
Howard Miller would say, what are the best tweets about Halloween?
Yeah.
And my grandfather would read them, and then but no one knew what tweets were.
At the time, tweets were not a thing, but he would read them anyway.
Yeah, it would happen. So it's been going on just about every year, and we've continued it here on the Bill and Wendy Show.
Yep. People clamor for it.
I read the top 10 tweets of Halloween, and they're posted on
Could you call them Twicker tweets? Would you be comfortable with that, or would you rather
just
not?
Tweet, yes.
Let's just
tweets.
Call them what you
want. I could, but I would never.
I like that.
I would never do that.
No. Trigger tweets.
Yeah? All right. Think about it, Eric. Maybe for next year.
Cream of tweet.
Anyway. Tweet Georgia Brown. Go on.
No, I think we're done.
All right. Good.
No, these are the top. These are of all time.
Yeah. Of all time.
I revised the list. Now, some of them, if listeners really, really have good long memories, they'll remember some of these from the previous years, going back to the 50s.
But that's nostalgia. That's how nostalgia.
Get to the point.
The best Halloween costume. The best Halloween costume is Amelia Earhart. All you have to do is not show up at the party.
That's good.
I'm laughing, but I know it's too soon. But I'm still laughing, Eric.
On Halloween, we dress up as skeletons, but every other day of the year, our skeletons dress up as us.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care that he's a, quote, four-year-old child. His pirate costume is historically inaccurate garbage, and he needs to be told.
Do more Amelia Earhart ones. I like those.
Fun fact, if someone is playing Christmas music in October, you're legally allowed to kill them and use their corpse for a Halloween display.
Wow.
True?
Wow. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Like it.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Christmas.
By the way, all the attributions are at chicagotribune.com/Zorn, and Jasmine will put them on
the
Facebook page.
I can't even pronounce
some of these, frankly, these Twitter handles.
Mm.
For Halloween, I'm giving out stern advice about the importance of thrift and gumption. Like that?
That was great because it had the word gumption in it.
Gumption. You know what? When I read that, I thought Bill's going to like it.
I like gumption.
The worst part about breaking up right before Halloween is now I have to explain at every party why I'm dressed as half a horse.
That's very funny.
For Halloween, I'm going as someone who has given up on life, but like in a slutty way. This Halloween, I'm going to dress up as me from last Halloween when I dressed up as future me.
Oh.
That's a thought provoker.
That's a circle of life.
That's a good one, right, yeah. After a certain age, the only Halloween costume you feel like wearing is Brian Wilson's bathrobe.
Oh, that's my costume.
And this is a sad one. That's the last one.
Thank you for the warning.
The hardest thing about carving a pumpkin these days is finding a newspaper to spread out on the table.
That is sad. That is accurate and
but
sad.
I thought it was...
That's very sad.
I wanted to delete that tweet, but it is very good. So,
Do you get anywhere near as many trick-or-treaters as you got years ago, or has it gone down a bit?
We haven't been. This is interesting. We were shopping the other day. Johanna and I were out, and we were grocery shopping together. It's like one of the little dates we have sometimes. And we were buying Halloween candy, and I wanted to buy like 200 pieces. And she said, are you kidding? Like we don't get that many anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get a lot more, but our neighborhood, I think what's happened is that there are certain neighborhoods in the city and maybe in some of your suburbs that are known for giving out really good candy, and all the kids go there.
Right.
And I would be interested to hear from your listeners, like how many pieces do they get? Because we will probably give out like 50 to 75 little mini candy bars. And there are places where I think they give out like 500 to 700 of them.
We give out a lot. I'm going to try and keep track of how many bags we give out this year.
And like Andersonville in Chicago is really known for that. I think parts of Logan Square are now known for it.
For giving away
a lot. Giving away really good candy. So the people bring their kids there. And I think it's a neat thing when kids from neighborhoods that are maybe less well-advantaged come to neighborhoods where people have more.
Sure.
And they're able to give more candy. And they can walk around and they can really have a nice Halloween rather than going around in their neighborhood. And maybe not getting as much.
Right.
So I think it's a nice thing. It's a nice multicultural thing. But I think it seems to be concentrating in certain neighborhoods now. So we are getting fewer. What about you?
It, you know, it's strange. I've noticed neighborhoods kind of have a turnover rate where the kids that would go every year all of a sudden are in high school or college. So, you know, so they're not going to go trick-or-treating. And then takes a couple years. Do you get a lot of high school or college kids?
I get a kid showing up like in a sport coat going, I'm dressed as a businessman. Like, it's not a costume, son. That's your dad's. Wow. That's your dad's sport coat.
Eric, have a happy and safe Halloween. I know you get crazy Halloween.
It won't be happy, but it will be safe.
All right, I hope it will be. Thank you so much. That's Eric Zorner of the Tribune. We'll be back in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.